public hearing notice, proposals for the Community Development Block Grant Program are being heard in response to applications received for 2012 funding. Only proposals submitted in response to the request for proposals will be heard. Persons making proposals are advised that their presentations are limited to 2 minutes, followed by 1 minute for questions, and that no distribution of any handouts will be accepted. Persons making proposals are also advised that the award of 2012 CDBG funds is subject to fund approval by the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development.
Thank you. Supervisor Bacon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I had two questions for the department. First was, could you just say what is the amount of funding available? Because that's not listed in the report.
Damon.
The amount for funding is about $1,200,000, roughly, I don't have the exact figure, but $1,748,000 to be, I can get to the exact number, I don't have it right now, but it's around that.
Right, and we get, and half of that is what we're distributing. Half of that is going to the ICC.
Well, 20% of that will be used for Milwaukee County Administration, and 80% of that amount, half of that 80% would be used to allocate to the organizations here today. The other half will go to the municipalities.
Okay. Can we get a follow-up, just a breakdown of what the actuals are? It just seems that would be instructive for people to know that the chairwoman alluded to it, that we're oversubscribed, and that's always been the case, but just so that people would know sort of what's available, and for members that we know what's available. And then the second question was, on this breakdown, the two categories, what was the basis of these five? I mean, this idea that it's that these are being funded from non-CDBG sources, is that something that we've put in our RFP, that's an exclusion, or how? What was that? What was the basis of that interpretation?
I'm gonna ask to have that question when we get to those five, if you don't mind, Supervisor Lipscomb, because that way all the entities that are already here can kind of go through, and then we can get, because I think that might be a fuller discussion.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. All right, so we will hold that, and if I forget, please remind me. But all right, Agape Community Center has withdrawn their project request, so we're going to go to Center for Veterans Issues. And when you come up, would you just please briefly identify yourself so that those who are listening know who you are as well. Thank you. Also, everyone's going to be timed once you begin your presentation. Our staff will let you know when the 2 minutes are up, and then at that point, just conclude your remarks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for permitting me to present before you. My name is Helen King, and I'm with the Center for Veterans Issues. And I might be saying CVI, but that's the Center for Veterans Issues. CVI is a veteran services agency, and it's been around since 1994. The facility that's under consideration is Vets Place Central. It's a 72-bed facility, 72 permanent housing bed with 6 overflow beds for homeless male veterans. Our CVI has a history of providing services to veterans in some of the jurisdictions, and they come to us through the Zablocki VA Medical Center as referrals. We get referrals from other human services agencies, and they come as walk-ins. They are all homeless, and overall, we've seen during the last 5 years, 48 to 50% of them come with no income. 30 to 40% come with income less than 30%, and approximately 15 varying come with income between 31 and 48% of medium for the area. We were asking for funds to support safety issues, basically with our breakaway doors and for our ramps and things for the handicapped. The facility, Best Place Central, was built in three stages, 1924 through 1964, and a lot of the doors are the original doors, and they're just in need of repair and replacement. We're also asking for support for stairwell trails because they are just warm. The veterans themselves use only one exit out of the building because they are monitored in terms of activities and what they're doing during the day. So those are just warned.
The time's up. That's too long.
Okay, only thing I want to say is we are requesting $40,000. We are measured our benefits through HUD and the VA Homeless Management Information System. Thank you.
It goes quickly, and of course, you're the first person, so sorry about that.
That's okay.
Okay. Are there any questions of Ms. King? Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The next item is, yes, you can just leave it there. That's great. The next item is the Council for the Spanish-Speaking. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Supervisor, staff. How are you? My name is Tony Baez. I'm the Executive Director of the Council for the Spanish-Speaking. I'm going to speak real fast. We submitted this grant. We have submitted grants in the past to this organization, working to try to repair all of the safety issues that we have at the Hillview Center. It's one of the buildings of the Council for the Spanish people. We serve all the people in the area. We serve a majority of the people we serve are Hispanic, about 80%. About 89% fall under the category of 33-9, I think it is, more or less, what the county provides for. We serve the greater Milwaukee area, but in that particular neighborhood, in that area, we have a major safety issue in that building. We had a hill that came down behind the building, and we have been repairing it at the hill. The city gave us $40,000. The county last year gave us $36,000. We still have a series of issues to repair, a fence that has to be put there for safety issues so that children don't fall on the other side of the retaining wall that we just completed. We have a number of things still to do with the escape stairway related to the building, and that will cost us quite a bit. We have security issues that we have to take care of, and we have landscaping issues to take care of. And we're asking this the county in this particular moment to please help us complete the project so that we have a building that is safe and accessible to people in that area of the city. This is a safety issue, and I think that we have explored every possibility of acquiring resources to make that happen. And together with us and the city and the county, we can make this building safe for the community it serves.
Thank you so much. Other questions by committee members? Good timing. Yeah. You're an old pro at this.
Okay, thank,
thank you so much, sir. Okay, the next one is Easter Seals Southeast Wisconsin. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Aisha Domino Brown from Easter Seals. Again, thank you for allowing us to present this morning. Easter Seals Southeast Wisconsin is a nonprofit. We've been a pillar in the community for nearly 80 years. We're asking $22,000 for roof and gutter repairs to our building on 53rd and Burleigh, which serves children and adults with disabilities, of which over 90% are low to moderate income families, which is information that we gathered during our intake process for all of our clients. The primary use of the building is for our Birth to Three program for young children with special needs and or developmental delays. Organizationally, we serve about 30% minority. However, for our Birth to Three program, that's over 91%. Early intervention is critical for our children. Over 28,000 children in Wisconsin under the age of three are at risk for developmental delays or disabilities that will set them behind when they start school. Yet only 6,000 are receiving early intervention services. As you can imagine, of those 28,000 Wisconsin children, a majority are Milwaukee County residents. Nearly 40 kids in Milwaukee County are diagnosed every week needing Birth to Three services. We served 300 of them last year and thousands over our 25-year program history. For every $1 invested in early intervention, $7 is saved in future support, which includes special education within our school systems and delinquency programs, which often result because children are performing poor at school. Although our request is not attractive, roof repairs is not sexy, it's not attractive at all, it is necessary. For the population that we serve in Birth to Three and the other programs in our 53rd and Burleigh Building, we need to be housed within their community where they live. As you know, there's no new developments, new buildings going up around 53rd and Burleigh, so we have to work with what we have, and the building there is what we have. It's right on the corner. People have access to it, and we need roof repairs. We need to maintain safety and maintenance for our building, which serves our community.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you.
Are there questions by committee members? Okay. Let's go on to Eisenhower Center, please.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Rosalind Smoley-Hill, and I'm from Eisenhower Center. We are a community rehab facility for adults with cerebral palsy and other developmental disabilities. We have 86 clients come in daily with severe physical and mental disabilities. Most of our people are in wheelchairs. They have walkers, canes, etc. Last year, you were kind enough to give us some money to start replacing part of our parking lot across the street. There were huge divots and bumps, and aesthetically, it was pretty ugly, too, for the neighborhood. And we would like to complete that project this year. So we've done a portion of it. We'd like to finish it just for the safety of our clients and our visitors, as well as for the community and the aesthetics.
Questions from community members? Thank you very much. We're now in Granville Interfaith Program.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Uta Buckman, and I'm the director of Granville Interfaith Program for the Elderly. We are a neighborhood outreach program that serves older adults in our neighborhood. We provide direct services to older adults like transportation, the doctor's appointments, shopping, visiting the isolated seniors, delivery of food boxes, spring and fall yard cleanup, and much more. These services are provided by volunteers, and there's no charge to the older adult. In 2011, we gave over 2,500 rides by volunteers to our clients. We also provide information and referral services, assist older adults with the application and the review process for programs that they're eligible for, like food share, Medicaid, home tax credit, and others. We also advocate on behalf of the older adults. We have served in that area over 30 years, and our board of directors also operated the Granville Senior Center on the northwest side until it closed in 2008 due to budget cuts. Our service area is the northwest side of Milwaukee County, bounded by County Line on the north, Silver Spring on the south, Teutonia on the east, and 124th on the west, including the village of Brown Deer. The majority of our clients fall into the low to moderate income group. Many live in subsidized senior housing. We track all of our client information at the point they enter our program, and I'd be glad to provide more detailed information about that upon request. Our program is supported by 11 congregations in the area, many of them who started the program 30 years ago. We receive some donations from clients. We do fundraising and receive some support from Central Interfaith. We are thankful for the support we have received through CDBG in the past, and we are requesting $27,500 with this request. We are committed to continue serving the older adults on the northwest side, to assist them to live independent and in their own homes for as long as possible. Thank you very much.
Questions? Just one quick question. What will the funds be used for?
The funds will be used for continuing to maintain the program, assist volunteers through mileage reimbursement. The cost of gas is making it very hard for volunteers to continue in the program and to provide more rights and more services to our seniors.
Okay, thank you. The next is Greendale Historical Society.
Good morning. My name is Bill Kiwan, and with me is Kathleen Hart. We're board members for the Greendale Historical Society. Greendale was developed as a 1938 WPA project by President Roosevelt and was designed for low and moderate income families. As such, Greendale is on the national and state registers of historic places and is also registered as a Milwaukee County landmark. Currently, Greendale has been nominated for national historic landmark status. the readaption and preservation of the Hose Tower grounds building into a community gathering place will restore the original concept of the village planners who envisioned open spaces and a community gathering place. Residents from all of Milwaukee County, the state of Wisconsin, and visitors to our historic village will be able to use the readapted Hose Tower and grounds building as a gathering place for a variety of cultural and social activities. This purpose is consistent with the original planners and designers of Greendale who envisioned public buildings open and available for everyone's use and enjoyment, regardless of social and economic circumstances. Written surveys, focus groups, and personal interviews with Greendale residents clearly indicates the need for a multifunction community gathering place. Community members identified the need to put the Hose Tower grounds building to a better use before another valuable piece of Greendale's living museum is lost. We have unbricked the windows and installed historically correct energy-efficient windows with the block grant funds previously awarded to us in 2009. We began a capital campaign in 2011 and to date have raised $79,461 from local donors. The Greendale Village Board has voted to match our fundraising campaign with $50,000 in 2011 and $50,000 in 2012 toward the restoration of this building. Thank you.
Thank you. And you're requesting $40,000 to add to the funds that are raised as well as from the, your village board, correct?
That's correct. Thank you. Yes.
Questions by committee members? Supervisor Lipscomb.
Question on the Greendale matching money. Is it their CDBG money or are they putting general Greendale revenues into it?
It's not block grant money. It's from their general fund.
Okay. I appreciate hearing that. That was definitely something I recall being one of the things that was troubling in the past was that it didn't seem like Greendale was participating even though we had. I know I've heard this one a few times, so I appreciate hearing that they've stepped up since then.
I think the phrase stepping up is accurate, that the village board has stepped up now.
Thank you.
Yes.
Ms. Hart, it's good to see you again. The next presentation is Journey House.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Steve Stanislawski. I'm a director of operations at Journey House. I'm here for employment training, which the county has generously provided for us for some years now. In 2010, Journey House had the opportunity to expand the employment training program through a federal startup grant, and that's where the Urban Careers Institute came into being. With the beginning of the Urban Careers Institute in 2011, we had 138 participants go through our employment services with 53 job placements. The program is primarily on Milwaukee's near south side, word of mouth, with about 55% of the participants coming from the 53204, 53215 zip codes. We did have 10 individuals who came through from non-city suburbs, county suburbs. In September of 2010, the Urban Careers Institute became affiliated with LISC and the Financial Opportunity Centers. There are 60 nationally Financial Opportunity Centers. Milwaukee has two, with Journey House being one. And this is what gives our employment training program a little bit more of a uniqueness to it. With this program, we were able to offer financial counseling, and we had 89 individuals go through financial counseling, which helps tremendously with job retention. So with your help, we hope to continue, of course, the UCI program. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you very much. The next presentation is Lau Family Community.
Good morning. My name is Kai Yang, and with me is the Executive Director, Mark Zhang. And Lau Family Community is a nonprofit organization that serves refugees to become self-sufficient. And last year, in 2011, we have been awarded the same funding for employment training. Our goal was to train and place 10 individuals for employments. We have achieved over our goals and were successful in training and placing 21 individuals. We have provided various culturally appropriate and languages assistant activities to help enable low and moderate income citizens, refugees, displaced workers, limited English speaking clients, and unskilled clients who are the underserved populations. We have trained them in jobs such as light industrial workers, general labor, skilled trades, warehouse production, and electronic assemblies, as well as resume writing and job coaching. We have successfully placed these individuals on the jobs that we have trained them for. As a result, we were able to expand economic opportunities to include job creation and retention. And the provision of public services concerned with employment and empowerment and self-sufficiency for the target populations to reduce generation of poverty and federally assisted housing and W-2 dependency. We will document that low and moderate income residents of Milwaukee County jurisdiction will be the primary beneficiary by intake, assessment, documentation of their income, identification, and a copy of their documentations. Therefore, we are requesting the same funding to continue the program for 2012.
Thank you. Questions by committee members? Thank you very much. Right,
thank you.
The next is Legal Aid Society of Milwaukee.
Good morning. My name is Katie Doyle, and I'm the Chief Staff Attorney at the Legal Aid Society, which is a nonprofit law firm which has represented low-income residents of Milwaukee County for 96 years. 12 years ago, the Legal Aid Society developed a project to represent Milwaukee County homeowners in foreclosure matters. Legal Aid has become a nationally known expert on foreclosure, defenses, and representation. In 2009, Legal Aid worked with other stakeholders to establish what is now called the Metro Milwaukee Foreclosure Mediation Program. This program provides mediation services to homeowners who are in foreclosure, using experienced mediators to assist homeowners and lenders to work out loan modifications and other loss mitigation agreements. And the Legal Aid Society is an important component in this program because we provide the legal representation to the homeowners in the mediation proceedings. Having legal representation has been shown to be highly effective in helping homeowners save their homes and get loan modifications, keeping the homes becoming vacant, and further causing distress in property values in the county. In 2011, Legal Aid represented homeowners in 10 municipalities in the county CDBG target area, that is not including Milwaukee, Wauwatosa, and West Allis, in the other areas. And we've seen a growing number of homeowners in foreclosure in those other municipalities. We screen our clients to meet our income guidelines and the CDBG income guidelines, and all the clients we represent are within those guidelines. The state of Wisconsin, through its Attorney General's Office and the City of Milwaukee, have all contributed to this important mediation program to help maintain the property values, and last year the county did so also. We are very pleased about that, and we ask for continuing funding for this important program. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're now in Lightstreams Community Development Center. Is anyone here from Lightstreams Community Development Center? Okay, we will consider them full from the hearing. The next is Metropolitan Milwaukee Fair Housing.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Felita Daniels Ashley, and I am the Program Service Coordinator for the Metropolitan Milwaukee Fair Housing Council. I'm responsible for fair housing outreach and education in Milwaukee County and have done so for the last 11 years. The mission of our organization is to promote fair housing by guaranteeing all people equal access to housing opportunities and by creating and maintaining racially and economically integrated housing patterns. The Fair Housing Council is a nonprofit membership-based organization. We've been around since for almost 35 years. The funding we receive from Milwaukee County benefits the municipalities in our areas by delivering a number of program services and activities. Our primary thrust in which the council was built on is the Fair Housing Enforcement Services Program, which includes counseling to victims of illegal housing discrimination, intake of fair housing complaints, investigations on behalf of illegal housing discrimination, and investigations into the systemic and institutional forms of housing discrimination. Fair housing education and outreach services, which is the program that I work in, and I actually feel that I am kind of the person that delivers those programs and services, have to deal with the outreach and education services that includes the presentations and trainings to housing providers, which are really, really critical in enforcing the federal and state fair housing laws. We also provide education to housing consumers, neighborhood groups, civic, religious, and education groups, social service agencies, and the general public, as well as a number of programs, including technical assistance and professional support, and more importantly, our fair lending program. The Fair Housing Council wants to continue to enforce the federal and state fair housing laws, and we can only do this by continuing to provide comprehensive education to all sectors of this community. We ask that this committee continue to fund us at its current level and, in terms of what the funds were we received in the last year. I thank you very much.
Supervisor Lipscomb.
Well, that's actually a question for staff. I believe we always have a fair housing allocation. I'm wondering, is that by regulation are we required to? Is this outside of that or in addition to?
Start with Mr. Boltman.
Yes, this is a required activity as part of our administration, and we have not always scheduled it in the past. There were times when we did it, but in the recent past we hadn't, because it's a required service. But we do get reports from them periodically. And so this amount will have to be in the final recommendation.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Supervisor Roman West.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And please indulge me. I'm sorry, because maybe you covered this when I was running around this morning. The allocations that are in front of us, it's likely that we will disseminate less money than what's being asked for by the agency. And the agencies were all made aware of that.
That's my understanding. In agenda setting, the first section that totals $1,045,000,
right.
those are the initial requests from all the agencies. At that level, that's already over the amount of funds by about a third of that.
Okay.
So, but we also then added the last five in the second category because Mr. Boltman and I felt that they were, as well as Mr. DeFore and other staff, felt that they were potentially eligible as well. So those are in the hearing. So we're actually now at a grand total of $1.245 million in requests.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions of the Milwaukee Metropolitan Fair Housing? I have one quick one for you, ma'am. The $25,000, will that be for staffing to do that educational outreach or specifically?
Absolutely. Specifically to provide the trainings to housing providers and to continue to do the outreach and education.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Okay. We are now at We're now in Milwaukee County DHHS Housing Division. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Jean Wolfgang. I'm the new Housing and Program Coordinator. The request for $60,000 is for architectural barrier removals, assisting low-income families across Milwaukee County with home modifications for persons with disabilities. Our typical fare in this program is anything from lifts, ramps, door widening, and bathroom modifications. so accessibility issues. The reason we request block grant funds for this purpose is that it's not an eligible activity under the home program. The home program would require that we bring the entire house up to code and it be owner-occupied. This serves renters as well as homeowners, and we can just do a very specific task of the accessibility issues, that type of rehab.
Questions on this item? Are you also going to be presenting the next one?
I am.
Okay. I think we're doing well on time. Go ahead.
Okay. The next one is the Emergency Home Repair Program. This, we serve low-income residents of Milwaukee County for their emergency home repair needs. Roofs that are leaking, electrical services that are arcing, really the dire emergencies, code enforcement issues from the municipalities themselves. We do a lot of outreach through the code enforcement officials in the suburbs. Again, home would require that you bring the entire property up to code. Block grant gives us the flexibility of just doing that emergency repair. This program is critical at this time because people don't have the access to financing that they did a few years ago. So when that roof fails and begins to leak, you know, they can't go to the bank, they don't have the equity, their property values have decreased. So they don't have that access to credit that they had a few years ago. So this is becoming a more important program.
Question, Supervisor Roman.
So what's the question? This is regarding utilization. What do you ever have money left over on this program at the end of the year, and if so, what happens to those dollars?
This is actually the program. It's a recycling program, so we actually take payments in. We give out 0% interest loans, and those payments come in, and then we just keep on making more loans. So we just serve more people. We continue to serve them in the same program. So we try to stretch the dollars as far as we can and help as many households as possible.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much. We are now on Milwaukee Christian Center. Good morning.
Good morning. Emilio Lopez, Director of Youth Programs for the Milwaukee Christian Center. Here on our proposal for our youth development program down at the Kosciuszko Community Center, which has been a wonderful partnership for the last 7 years with Milwaukee County Department of Parks. Through that program, we provide a number of different services down there that include all of your youth activities. Driver's Ed, we've done basketball leagues, we have a fabulous boxing program down there, and five of our kids, three 11-year-olds and two 13-year-olds, qualified this year for the Silver Gloves National Tournament in Missouri out of our program there at the Kazi Center. We serve all low to moderate income kids in 53204, 53215, and parts of 53207. Down at the center, though in our basketball league this past season in 2011, we had low and moderate income kids from Oak Creek and Cudahy put together a team and participate in our basketball league at the Kosciuszko Community Center. Our enrollment forms allow us to determine the income, and sometimes people don't want to give that information to you, so we try to get it. At least give us the source. You don't want to tell us the amount, give us the source. So we try to document it as well as we can. And then we also use data from the public schools in terms of where kids attend on the free and reduced lunch to determine those kids. How our activities benefit all Milwaukee County residents, by taking low to moderate income kids from the zip code areas we serve and exposing them to venues and activities throughout the county and ensure appropriate behavior. We get kids out of that geographical tunnel vision and get them out and about. We also have collaborations with other organizations throughout the county to share resources and activities. I think that would be it. We hope to continue our partnership with the county.
Thank you. Questions by committee members? Just a quick question for you, sir. Mr. Lopez, what would the $25,000 go to?
It's been used for staff. We have to have staff to provide those programs.
A full range of activities. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
The next is Milwaukee County CDBP. Good morning.
Good morning. Frieda Webb, Director of the Office of Community Business Development Partners. I'm here on behalf of the Capacity Building and Technical Assistance Grant we ask for and seek your assistance to fund for consultants. This helps us provide small businesses and particularly disadvantaged businesses and anyone considering starting a business with the understanding and appreciation of what it takes to run a business. To date, we've trained over 100 people. We have a waiting list. We're pleased to say for people interested in taking our program, probably if not but for this program, some of our businesses would not be as knowledgeable and appreciative as they could be about opportunities with Milwaukee County, what it takes to run a business, basic business education, legal, financial, and things of that nature. So we ask your assistance, and we do this in collaboration with the Milwaukee Urban League to stretch our dollars.
Questions? Supervisor Lipscomb.
You said 100 participants to date. How many?
We've had over 100 participants to date. Pardon me?
That's over how many years, sir?
And
how many
would be basically, probably over 5 years. We average about, we start off with about 40 people per class, and we usually end up with about 25 that basically have 80% attendance.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next is Milwaukee County Department of Parks.
Good morning. Joe Rozak with the Milwaukee County Parks Department. The request before you for $40,000 was somewhat initiated by, of all people, Prince Fielder last year when he was the All-Star Game MVP through the Chevy Diamonds and Dreams program. He was given $40,000 to give to a field of his choice. He graciously chose Milwaukee County Park, more specifically Zablocki Park, a park that has multiple diamonds, and he felt they needed some improvements. This request would go along with that $40,000 to give those fields those much-needed improvements. Those improvements would definitely provide more usable fields, increase access to many people who use them. All of our users who use our fields, the majority of them are from the 16 municipalities in the CDBG jurisdiction. We hope with the funds to start as soon as possible, possibly this spring, and moving forward with those improvements.
Questions? All right, thank you very much.
We have no comment on Prince Fielder at this time.
Right.
Yeah.
No, she's talking about Prince Fielder.
Okay. Don't Prince Fielder here. We're gonna rumble.
All right. We are now with the Milwaukee Urban League.
That's such a huge
We're starting to go past the time, so if some of these entities aren't here, I will allow them to speak at the end of this so that, especially if we start going past their time. Is someone here from My Home, Your Home? Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Connie Palmer. I'm with My Home, Your Home. The program we're seeking funds for is our transitional housing program called Lisey's Place, and we're looking for funding to support our roof and our windows. We're currently in a facility called the St. Catherine's Convent, and that building's about 75 years old. So what has happened is the windows have rotten, and they're pretty bad, and we need to have those windows replaced. The women who live in that transitional facility, in the winter times, they struggle with air seeping through, so it's pretty cold in there, and in the summertime, it's pretty humid. So we're asking for funds to support that.
I have a quick question for you. The $33,000, is that the entire amount that you need to do the roof and the windows, or is that a portion?
That's the entire amount, and in your report you should have the bids that were submitted with us to us for that.
All right.
And we have checked with other places that will do the energy assistance, but that is not what we need. We need those frames and windows replaced.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
National Alliance on Mental Illness.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for the opportunity to speak on this proposal. My name is Peter Huffle. I'm the executive director with NAMI Greater Milwaukee. We're the National Alliance on Mental Illness that serves the all of Milwaukee County. What the proposal in front of you is to provide peer specialist training for up to 80 Milwaukee County residents. Peer specialists are individuals that have a mental health diagnosis that are in recovery and willing and able to work and provide support services to other individuals with mental health needs. And what's most important, many of you are aware of, is the Milwaukee County Mental Health Redesign Initiative is focusing greatly on having peer support specialists working throughout Milwaukee County to provide supported services for people with mental illness. Talking really fast, I got 2 minutes, sorry. Mm-hmm. And so all the recommendations of all the action teams is to create more peer specialists employed throughout Milwaukee County, and that's what this training, we need to train those individuals. The training also requires or allows for those individuals to get state certified so then people can get reimbursed through Medicaid once they're state certified. The history of us providing peer specialist training is that we don't have any, but what we have done is we provided crisis intervention training to Milwaukee County law enforcement officers, over 200 to date, and over 250 Milwaukee Police Department officers. Not exactly the same training, but very similar in that it's mental health training on recovery and crisis reduction. Primary service area targeted is 100% of these individuals will be low to moderate income. A lot of them will be on SSI. So far, we've seen people that have gone through this training and then become employed actually get off public benefits and then end up working fully employed, receiving their own benefits. We will document that everyone is low to moderate income that comes through the training. The dollar amount being requested is $25,000. We're looking at also providing direction of these individuals to be employed through some of the outlining senior development so we can provide actually peer support of some seniors that would take the training to provide peer support services to elders in our community as well. My time's up.
Questions by committee members? Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Huffle, you mentioned that there has been training with police departments. I'm a member of the Community Justice Council, and we have an evidence-based decision-making initiative to provide crisis training to particularly the Milwaukee Police Department and the Sheriff's Department.
Yep.
So to what extent have you been providing?
Well, we just actually completed one on Friday. It was all of last week to Milwaukee County Sheriff's deputies, mm-hmm. and there was 25 deputies in that training, and that was, I think, our seventh to Milwaukee County Sheriff's deputies.
Seventh training for deputies?
And it's usually 40 in each class, and it's a 40-hour training, but this last one, there was just 25 Milwaukee County deputies.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, sir.
Yep.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Mr. Huffle, the $25,000, will that be used to fund the person who's going to do the training for this peer specialist?
There'll be two trainers required to do the training. That will be one of the largest dollar amounts for it, but then also the materials, packets, a small amount of staff coordination, but then also the stipend to take the state certification exam.
And then with that, if you receive those funds, will that be? Do you have other funds that you also need in order to do the program?
We're hoping to be able to do it with that $25,000. If not, our plan would be to use the dollars that we receive from our other funding, like our walk, that are unrestricted funds to make up for anything that would go over that.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're now on Project Return. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is David Fields. I'm the former associate director, and now I'm a volunteer for Project Return. I'm hoping the County Board of Supervisors will continue to support Project Return and returning ex-offenders to urban realities and neighborhoods.
Thank you.
My name is Andre Brown, the case manager for Project Return. We focus on rehabilitation and livelihood at Project Return. The four services that we offer our job search assistance. With the job search assistance, we offer technical assistance, written assistance, and verbal assistance. Resume writing, advocacy when it comes to the labor laws for the ex-offender, and most definitely general job search assistance, trying to connect this population with employment. We also assist with housing. It depends on the client's condition, whether it's immediate shelter, landlords, first-time home buying. We work with different programs to provide this service. We also offer support groups in the capacity of AODA services and counseling. We have a manhood focus group that focuses on the benefits of manhood, and we also have alumni wraparound service that focuses on support for ex-offenders once they're released from prison. And last but not least, we offer a clothing closet that also provides furniture for our clients that needs these services and needs these things. Last year, we intaked 544 clients. Out of those 544, we have 219 obtain and maintain full-time employment. 73 clients were assisted with housing referrals and placement. 50 clients with clothing directly at Project Return. 10 clients referred to driver's license recovery. 22 clients referred and admitted as patients to healthcare clinics. 15 clients assisted with obtaining new glasses. 60 clients assisted in locating and enrolling in education and training programs. 32 clients assisted with furniture and household items, and 75 clients in our AODA program were intake and counseled. So we thank this council for support over the past years, and we're looking for more support for the future to maintain and develop new and better ideals through Project Return. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? I have a quick question for you. So last year, about 544 clients. Mm-hmm. Do you think you'll be able to see that range this in 2012?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And that 40,000 goes for the employment piece specifically, or is it more broader?
It is more broader. David Fields can kind of.
Well, actually, it's for the employment piece. We have three case managers who work on that, so they will specifically be working with the clients for employment and other services.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next item is Rebuilding Together Greater Milwaukee. And once again, we will go back to if we've passed you up because you weren't here at the time at the end of this initial presentation, we'll go back and see if they're here. Rebuilding Together Greater Milwaukee. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Linnea Cates Pettit. I'm the CEO of Rebuilding Together Greater Milwaukee. We have been around in the community since 2000 and have provided pretty much the only emergency repair, free emergency repair for residents of Milwaukee County and Waukesha counties. This year, we're going to be reaching 200 homeowners that we're serving. Last year was 160, and the year before was 89. So we're ramping up quite significantly, and we're also seeing the need for our services expand tremendously given the older housing stock and also the fact that there's 10,000 older adults turning 60 or older every single day for the next 19 years. So there's a huge need for what we provide. The grant is for $40,000. It is to support our emergency repair and accessibility program. We have full cooperation from the Wisconsin Occupational Therapy Association, who volunteers their time. Comes in and does full assessments for our homeowners and assists them with accessibility. We purchase the materials. We also install them for them. We have an epidemic in Wisconsin with more people die in their homes due to falls than they do in car accidents, which is devastating. And we've been on that list between number one and number five for the last 14 years. Hmm. So we want to put a stop to that and assist our aging population to be able to stay in their homes and live where they want to. It's also a significant cost reduction for the county from by way of reducing the cost of services that they would be having to provide either by way of emergency services and or assistive care. So we feel that we're a really important part of the community, and we'd like to continue to grow and help more people.
Supervisor Lipscomb.
Thank you. Chris, what's our history? Have we been funding this?
You have not, no.
And is this the group that you do like a one-day blitz with volunteers on that, or is this throughout the year that you're doing this?
That's a great question. We actually started out doing a one-day year, a program a year that was back in 2000. We started with four homes. We still do that program. It's one of our signature programs. We do 18 houses in one day. With about 1,000 volunteers, and the sponsors are ones who pay for that. We currently now offer emergency repairs, accessibility modifications, essential repairs, and then also a program called Housing Plus that connects people who call us for other issues with very needed resources. So We're also a very big collaborator with other organizations within the community. We're not funded by governments for the most part. We're mostly funded by individual donations, grants, and then corporation sponsors.
I appreciate that. I got to give a plug to Supervisor Johnson because one of your volunteers, Mark Thomas, I use him for building inspection, and he shouted out Supervisor Johnson that he said he's not like the rest of you politicians who come to our events. He actually worked. So
Willie's been a great supporter of ours. So
thank you.
Yeah.
He was talking about me. It was about
me. I need his phone number.
Supervisor Roman West, who also works.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm an answer of that.
He's never had to clean the lagoon.
Supervisor Lipscomb got park. To make it up to do.
Yeah, I was going to say. I would just stop now if I were you. But
just saying.
Willie does work, though.
I was trying to plug Willie. I wasn't trying to degrade him. I put myself in there.
I just had a quick question. So basically the difference between this program and the county's program is the evaluation that goes into it, or is this more you come in, you evaluate the house, everything that needs to get fixed is then fixed?
Let me ask staff that.
What's the difference between this program and Milwaukee County program?
The Milwaukee County program is it's a loan program, so it's a 0% interest loan, and then when that loan is repaid, we recycle the money and assist additional families. We use contractors, and we also operate in a lead-safe manner.
Okay. Thank you.
Peggy, can I also answer that question?
Yes, go ahead.
We also are lead certified, both as an organization and also our staff. We also, because of the nature of the program, what we do is 100% free. There's no charge to the homeowners at any point in time. And they're oftentimes in that gap where they may apply for many other programs, but they're not filled for whatever reason. Some of the money rolls out and it's spent by a certain point in time, and or they just don't qualify for various reasons. So, what we're discussing here is a very minute part of our program. There's a huge portion of what we do. We essentially do everything except for roofs and foundations in the home. So it could be anything from plumbing, electrical, porch, stairs, ramps, pretty much anything you can think of that would go into a home, we do. And it's all 100% for free.
Thank you. And the $40,000, will that actually go to the staffing, or will that go to the actual supplies and in actual projects?
13,000 of that will go into staffing, and then the rest goes into projects.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions? All right. We are now on St. Catharines.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee, staff. Thank you for this opportunity. St. Catharines has been providing safe and affordable housing to women for 117 years. This past year, we provided housing to 253 women. 47% of those women had incomes under $10,000. 34% had incomes between $10,000 and $15,000. And 12% had incomes between $15,000 and $20,000. Roughly 7% had incomes over $20,000 and under $25,000. Our project is a part of a much bigger project. About 4 years ago, we started a $3 million+ renovation of the St. Catharines building, which is 63 years old. Our building has 97 bathrooms. We have completed and completely renovated 92 of those and have 5 to go. WIDA is doing our ADA bath, and that leaves 4, and we're asking for funding to help us rehab 2 out of those 4 bathrooms. Each bathroom to renovate costs approximately $7,000. We fully replumb, retile, replace the bathtub, everything goes and is replaced with new and durable, so that they'll last a long time. Our service area really is worldwide in that we don't set restrictions to who we accept. We do know, however, that 87% of the women we served last year came from Milwaukee County. That's all I need to know. We are mandated by state statute to keep income, the incomes for each woman that we accept into St. Catharines if we want to retain our property tax free status. So how we provide information to you is that we fully document women coming into the program and annually. Thank you for your time.
Questions by committee members? Ms. Selke, could you just briefly explain some of the programs that you offer these women in the residential area?
I'd be happy to. I really believe that our biggest program and our biggest asset to Milwaukee County is safe and affordable housing, and that is our primary service. We staff our front desk 24/7 so that nobody comes in or out that we don't know about, and that's vitally important to a significant number of women who move to St. Catharines. I hear that all of the time. We do also provide support services. We have a computer resource center, 8 stations fully linked to the internet. We do a lot of referring out. We have a partnership with Meda House so that women graduate residential treatment and move to St. Catharines, continue their counseling services with Meda House. We take 17-year-olds aging out of foster care, much sometimes to other women's unhappiness. We have a group of 10 now, moms and infants. So we try to make ourselves available to the most vulnerable women in the community. And we subsidize rents through fundraising.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate it.
Okay, next is United Community Center.
Morning.
Good morning.
My name is Al Castro, and this is Hector Hernandez. We work in the elderly programs at the United Community Center. Thank you for having us here today. We're here to ask your support for $12,500 to fund a part-time bilingual Hispanic outreach position through our senior center. As some of you know, we've been serving the Latino elderly and other Southside residents for about 20 years now in Milwaukee County. This position that we're asking for is to help us to get out to do more specific outreach to the outlying areas of the county where there are pockets of Hispanics that are settling, especially like in senior low-income apartments, Greenfield, South Milwaukee, Oak Creek. We don't have that kind of position dedicated at this point, and yet the need is there. The latest census showed that the target area that we submitted this proposal, there's an estimate of about 1,000 Hispanics of age 60 and older that live in that area, plus another 1,200 or so that are in the 10-year decade before the 50 to 59, so they're coming down the road, so we want to prepare ourselves for that. We specifically want to tie this with a new project that we have, a collaboration with 16th Street Community Health Center. They just opened a new outstation in our Olga Village Senior Center, specializing in geriatrics. So this social worker position will help us reach out to those pockets of the county that they don't have access to Spanish-speaking geriatrician and medical staff. We also have the transportation system to be able to transport these folks to our senior center, to the health center, to improve access to health care for our seniors, to prevent early, you know, falls and poor health care. We have the ability when we do intakes and enrollments to capture that income data. We have a sophisticated electronic database that Hector and his staff maintain. So we can justify and verify that about 90% of our folks, up to 95%, do definitely fall in the low-income range and what zip code area they'd be from, coming from those outlying areas. A good story that happened recently, I think in November, we had a lady named Delia whose father tried to find a senior center for her close downtown Greenfield, but the closest one didn't have any Spanish-speaking staff. I think it was Wilson Park. She was very depressed. She had lost her husband recently, wasn't eating well. It took several tries, but he finally got her to come to the senior center, and when she walked in, she recognized some coworkers of her dead husband who had worked at Patrick Cudahy for years. And she heard the music, smelled the food, and she felt right at home, and she was home. And now she comes pretty regularly now. So it really got her out of that depression and isolation. So that's kind of help we need to get a position funded to reach out to those apartments and be able to visit them, bring them in for their depression and health care needs, socialization, and prevent early institutionalization. Any questions? My bread is done.
Questions? And so did I hear you correctly that at 16th Street Community Health Center does your satellite health care for you?
Correct. That opened, I believe, in November. They have an assigned geriatrician part-time.
I used to work there.
Yeah, okay. Dr. Dunn is our doctor there now.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you,
thank you very much. We'll now go to Walker's Point Center for the Arts.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Gary Tuma. I'm the executive director of Walker's Point Center for the Arts. Thank you, staff and committee, for hearing our request. We are a perfect fit for your grant because we do serve all 16 jurisdictions of Milwaukee County, and we do serve low and moderate income residents and children especially. Our project is to replace the sidewalk which leads up to our handicapped ramp, and to also do tuck pointing on our building. We are experiencing spalling, in our 127-year-old Cream City brick building, and chunks are beginning to fall onto the sidewalk that does lead up to the handicapped ramp. We bought our building 2 years ago. It was a vacant building. We had two full-time staff and two part-time. We now have three full-time staff and four part-time staff, so we've doubled our workforce, making a big impact. We hire every year 35 artists. They all are residents of Milwaukee County, as are all of our staff. Our 350 artist members come from, 93% come from Milwaukee County, 53% from West Allis, Milwaukee, and Wauwatosa, and the other 40% from the other 13 jurisdictions. We provide free education programs in Milwaukee County parks, lakefront festivals. So we serve many, many youth who are low income, as we know that 86% of the youth we serve receive free or reduced lunches. So we know that they are low income. Our gallery has visitors every year, and we know that 69% of them come from Milwaukee County, 44% come from West Allis, Milwaukee, and Wauwatosa, and the others come from the other 13 jurisdictions. Thank you.
Questions? Mr. Tuma, the $35,000, is that the total amount of funds you need for the renovation, or are there other
funds? We have had some bids, and we know that cost will be about $23,000, $24,000 for the tuck pointing and the other amount for the sidewalk. We will devote all of these funds to the actual construction work, and we will use our other funding to assist with staffing and other.
So the tuck pointing itself is
$23,000. It's quite a large amount of money, yes.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Now we're on to Wisconsin Community Services.
Right on schedule. Good morning. My name is Nicole Young-Todd. I'm from Wisconsin Community Services. Thank you for the opportunity to talk today about the Center for Driver's License Recovery and Employability. The center is operated by WCS, my organization, in conjunction with Legal Action of Wisconsin, the City of Milwaukee Municipal Court, and Milwaukee Area Technical College. We were founded in 2007, so we just celebrated our fifth year anniversary on March 1st. In that time, we have received 10,562 referrals, some from the organizations that have been here today, specifically the Center for Veterans Issues, Milwaukee Urban League, which I believe is yet to testify, and there was another one, but Project Return. After screening for eligibility, the center admitted 4,399 low-income Milwaukee County drivers to case management and legal services. Of the 3,807 cases that have been closed, 2,162, or 57% of those, have recovered their driver's license, and 62% have retained them for a year or longer, which, by the standards of our those that evaluate us at the University of Wisconsin Employment and Training Institute, is exceptional compared to other outcomes of similar programs that serve this population. The center, in addition to that 57% success rate with recovering the license, also gave a separate group a license recovery plan and verbal advice because their circumstances didn't allow for the full case management and legal services for a variety of reasons. and that was 3,403 people on top of the other group. We know that many of them did get their license, just not directly through our case management, but because of what we've helped them with. A lot of them were served at the on-site at community locations like the Milwaukee Fatherhood Initiative, their summit each year. We attend that. Thousands of people have come, and child support and our service are the biggest draws. Oh my goodness, that's a fast 2 minutes. if I might just say that we do document that 100% of our persons are low income by HUD standards, and 92% of them are extremely low income by HUD standards.
Question by committee members. Quick question for you on the employability piece. Are you able to track at all if the license recovery results in people being able to stay employed?
We don't. We are not funded to, because we're a niche service, we're not funded to specifically track employment, but I will tell you that UWM, the ETI that I mentioned, the Employment and Training Institute, when they evaluated us, they looked at statistically, and we did data sharing at that time with the DWD, the Social Security number, so this is 100% accurate, that there is a strong relationship between income increasing and a valid driver's license, and that was from our client population. So we looked specifically at our clients, and so there's a statistically significant relationship between those two.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, we're now on Wisconsin Women's Business Initiative Corporation. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
I'm Amber Miller. I'm the Lead Education Project Manager for the Wisconsin Women's Business Initiative, and we are located in the Hurombi area right on 3rd and Center. We've been in the community for 25 years, and our funds, hopefully that you provide us, will provide business development services and education to existing and startup businesses. And Wendy Bauman, our president and CVO, could not be here, so she wanted me to play a little message. It's not very long. And then after that, I'll have Benjamin Clark speak, who is one of our...
in Baltimore, invited by the Small Business Administration for a small gathering to help find ways, creative ways, of creating more jobs in our nation and certainly in Milwaukee County. I want to thank you in advance for all of the past year's support you've provided our agency, WIBIC. We met and have exceeded our goals every single year. Actually, in 2011, we met and exceeded our goals in the first three-fourths of the year. I ask for your full support of this proposal pending in front of you today. The center of our table is hope and opportunity. Last year alone in Milwaukee County, we provided direct loans to over 56 micro and small businesses, on the average creating 3.75 jobs. This works. We say what we do what we say, and now I turn it over to Amber Miller, who will share the rest of our presentation this morning. Thank you in advance.
Hopefully you were able to hear that. Okay. I would like to introduce you to Benjamin Clark. He is one of our WIBIC clients and small business owner.
Hi, my name is Benjamin Clark. I'm the owner of GSI General Incorporated. We're a general contracting firm. We specialize in fire and water restoration. Through WIBIC, our previous three-year average revenue was $1.7 million. $600,000 of that was used to pay subcontractors, electricians, plumbers, and heating. The other $400,000 was used to pay our employees. We also use WIBIC's funds to secure bonding and commercial funding for projects that employ anywhere from 14 to 38 additional employees. We currently employ 8 full-time employees and 6 part-time employees at GSI.
Thank you. Any questions by committee members? Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you so much.
We're now on Word of Hope Ministries. Good morning.
Morning. Hi, good morning. My name is Ron Wiesa. I'm here representing Word of Hope Ministries. I apologize ahead of time if my voice cracks at all. I'm kind of battling a cold here. Word of Hope is a 15-year-old faith-based social service agency located on the north side of Milwaukee. Our primary focus is employment and employment training services. We also offer ATODA support, social services, GED preparation. We have computer labs, and we help with the placement assistance. Our target population is unemployed and underemployed members of the Milwaukee County community. We were asking the board to fund our employment and placement training program. We do our recruitment in several different areas. One of the main areas that we do our recruitment in is across the correctional facilities in the state of Wisconsin, and we have recently signed a new MOU with Community Corrections Facility South, so we tend to be getting a lot more people outside of the city of Milwaukee seeking our services. We also do recruitment at resource fairs, on radio broadcasts, in the classified section of Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and in many Milwaukee community papers. Last year we served individuals from 20 different zip code ranges, and we've seen a broad spectrum of that again this year so far. We use many different ways to document, but as every individual enters our agency, we have them fill out our enrollment paperwork, which tracks such things as their income, their family size, the area in which they reside, including zip code, and also if they're receiving any other county or state services, such as, Word of Hope, we give the people new skills, we give them motivation, we help them with the GED prep, we help them through mentoring and our soft skills program in-house. We also connect them to outside training providers. We have case managers on site, mentors, employment specialists, and also we help with employment placement assistance through the relationships which Word of Hope has developed. We have professionally trained staff, been doing about 15 years, and we're located in an easy accessible place that's right on the bus line for individuals who don't have transportation or have transportation issues. We're asking for about $40,000 in order to fund our project, 15 going towards the orientation enrollment, 15 for job training, and then another 10 for job placement and follow-up.
Thank you. Are there questions? About how many people did you train last year?
We enrolled 650. We sent 400 of them through our internal trainings. We placed 250-odd people through the different placement services that we had, and we referred probably another 150 through different types of training throughout the community. We were minorly funded through this board last year.
And you said 400 went through your internal training, right?
400 graduated from our internal training. 650 were enrolled in it.
That's great. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate it. Oh, yes, sir. Oh, no, I did. I didn't see him. I'll get one for you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Before we go to the last five, is anyone here from Light Streams Community Development Center? Would you like to come up, ma'am? They're on the first page, about the fourth from the bottom.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for seeing me.
Could you identify us, your name?
Yes, I'm Reverend Denise E. Lockhart from Light Streams Community Development Center. We're on the northwest side of Milwaukee. We've been in service we've been in service since 2006. We offer we're a nonprofit agency offering foreclosure and pre-purchase counseling services. All of our services are free to the Milwaukee County. We have actually seen clients throughout all the jurisdictions. And last year in 2011, we were one of the agencies that were part of the emergency home loan program. And we submitted, I think, over 250 applications for clients within the county. We're seeking services to continue our services, proposal for expansion of our counseling staff, to also expand our outreach efforts. We are part of the Take Root Consortium of Milwaukee, and we continue to expand our services to our community.
Questions by committee members? Okay, thank you very much. Is anyone here from Milwaukee Urban League?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. All right, that takes care of our first set. We're going to go to the last five in our second box, but before we do that, Supervisor Lipscomb had a question for administration staff and regarding the recommendations.
Reiterate it. The question was, you know, How did this question of them already being funded, how'd that arise that these were pulled out, and what was the basis of that? Particularly, I guess I'm interested, you know, they may be being funded for some other activity or for some other source, but why does that affect their CDBG request for what they're requesting for?
Damon, do you want to respond to that?
I'm sorry, I didn't get out of that, but you want to know how we're going to select the activities that will be?
No,
doing?
I'm wondering why they were pulled out. It appears as though they're being said that they're ineligible or something,
okay,
because they're already funded, and I don't understand what the basis of that is.
What we've been doing with HUD for the last 6 months is trying to work with them on making sure that we apply their regulations to what we do. So our interpretation of what HUD has been talking about is pretty conservative, and so what you have before you are organizations that are eligible projects. It doesn't mean that these projects meet necessarily HUD's national objective. We'll determine that this week, but these projects are all eligible projects. The five projects at the bottom were an issue. It's an issue that came up because these organizations apparently already in some kind of way get funding from Milwaukee County. So based on in terms of the process that we were going through, that became an issue. So initially I didn't include them, but after talking to staff further, we did include them. So they are eligible. It's just, you know, do we want to fund projects that are also funded from other areas of Milwaukee County? That's just an issue. And so what we're going to do is try to figure out whether or not, if Black Rand funds are funding the same activity that they're funding with other areas from Milwaukee County. So I know Hunger Task Force gets funding from Milwaukee County. I don't know where, but – and also WRTP has some funding,
Administratively, I get it. We don't want to pay twice for the same activity, and I hope that's throughout all of the work that we do. But I mean, you know, the parks department and some of our other departments are on here. They clearly get funding from Washington County. So I just found it to be a bizarre subset that these two organizations were pulled aside. Now, if perhaps there's a case to be made that this is the same activity, but I hope that'll be addressed. So thank you.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Beltman.
I would say that it was just simply a mistake.
Okay.
And I will just briefly add, what happened was an agenda setting when the recommendations for the initial group of entities came down. Mr. Beltman and I noticed the staff was very open about what their criteria was and how they were trying to strictly follow the federal guidelines. But initially, they had these five as well as a couple of others that aren't on here because our staff mutually, Mr. Boltman and I, agreed that they would not be eligible by the eligibility requirements, so we didn't even ask those to submit. But these five proposals, two from the Hunger Task Force for people who are listening and don't have the information, and three from WRTP, the administration initially classified them as ineligible because they potentially received county funds. And what Mr. Beltman and I felt was that wasn't a criteria for ineligibility. It might be something the administration or this committee and the board might look at as to whether or not you want to fund an entity that might have other funding, but that it wouldn't make them automatically ineligible. And in the past history of these presentations, the previous committees have always erred on the side of having more agencies be able to speak and present their case. And so the administration, we worked that out with them. They agreed with that, and that's where we are today. But the bottom line is the administration is very concerned that whatever entity is that we actually fund, that there's going to there'll be a beefed up documentation process that some of the agencies might not be used to from in the past, because they don't want to jeopardize, with the federal oversight that's happening, the receipt of all of these funds. So they're hoping to work very closely with the rest of you, Mr. Beltman, and the rest of the administration to make sure that they maintain the funds. So that's where we are today. Mr. Biddle, Supervisor Biddle.
Madam Chair.
I apologize.
No problem. Not at all. I'm glad we cleared that up, because when you look at it from a surface perspective, these two organizations with the initiatives under that the funding is for, you know, were based on, you know, some disagreements between the legislative branch and the executive branch about the importance of these issues during the last budget process. And so when I first saw it and I heard about the rumors of what was happening, I was very concerned if folks were being picked on based on the administration's lack of priorities with those initiatives and disagreeing with the forward movement of those initiatives. And so, you know, for the administration to say that because they get funding from other places from the county is just a bit off base, considering the proposals that I've heard this morning that seem to get funding as well. So hopefully that's not the case. I'm not insinuating that it is, but I did thought that it was important to note that, you know, two of the organizations that have other initiatives with the administration that we're not really seeing eye to eye on right now as far as forward progress. So I'll be watching closely to see what happens, and I encourage the future board in the continuing months after my departure to look at those things closely and really, you know, take the opportunity for the legislative branch and executive branch to work together, because the budget is done. It's just time to get things moving. So thank you, Madam Chair.
And Supervisor, just to that point, for example, particularly with the last three by WRTP, Mr. Tafora from Economic Development was agenda setting, and he argued strongly for them to be considered.
Okay.
So,
that's good to know.
Yeah, and there was about three or four others that were on that original list that would not be given the opportunity to speak, that we eventually agreed with staff that they probably would not be funded. And might very much not be eligible. So there was a broader list, but I understand where you're concerned.
And I understand the importance of making sure that we're not paying for services already being provided. So, you know, I don't want to be insensitive to that, but a part of it is my frustration on the lack of the Ready to Work initiative.
Right.
So seeing that just drew up, some bad feelings.
I can understand.
You know?
So. Okay. Supervisor Roma West.
I just want to echo that I share that concern, seeing that the Hunger Task Force was on this list, as there's some shenanigans now going on with the contract that we approved during the 2012 budget. That's going to be addressed tomorrow at Parks and hopefully just squashed. But I did have some concern seeing them on this list as well, because we have funded them continuously since I've been here in 2004, when they stepped up and decided that they were going to run the farm and fish hatchery for us. This county board, almost in its entirety, has been very supportive of that activity. And then, you know, we had some shenanigans in the 2012 budget process, and we were able to successfully navigate that and come to a good understanding. And what I think is a great resolution for the residents of Milwaukee County, and now to find out that there's shenanigans with the contract, I'm not a happy camper. And to sit here today and to see the Hunger Task Force, it's kind of like, thanks for doing such a great job for us, and then as we kick you in the teeth. And I really don't understand, when we sit and talk about having partnerships with, you know, other municipalities and other agencies, and we want people to assist us, and then when they step up to do that, this is how they're treated. And so I'm glad to get that clarification. But again, I with Supervisor Biddle will be watching to make sure that this comes through and we see it to fruition, along with the contract that we approved in 2012 for the Hunger Task Force at the Farm and Fish Hatchery.
And perhaps Mr. Boltman,
if I could just add.
That's just what I was going to ask you, Mr. Boltman.
Yes, I would like to add that the Parks Department is recommending that a contract be adopted at tomorrow's meeting. Okay. Things have been worked out to my knowledge. If they haven't, they will be by tomorrow.
All right.
Madam
and,
Chair.
Mr. Colon.
Thank you. I just wanted to have an opportunity to respond. I just want to say I don't know anything about any shenanigans. I don't know anything about any pending contracts. What we need to do moving forward in our housing division is make sure that all projects that are approved need to meet HUD's guidelines and regulations. So that's what we want to assure as a division. We're going to provide you with the best. Now, we have in the tune of $1.2 million, $600,000 of which roughly will go to be able to support these projects. We want to put forth the best recommendations to ensure that the county would not be held liable. 2011, we may have a liability in the tune of $150,000 to $200,000. We don't want to put the county in the position next year to also have a liability. So the projects we're going to recommend will definitely meet those guidelines.
And the only other thing I would say, because I didn't mention the agenda setting piece with Hunger Task Force, the only thing, and please correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Boltman or Mr. Dorsey or Mr. Cologne, I thought the issue with Hunger Task Force, at least the way it was presented to me, was that you had felt that since there was direct budget funding, that at least initially, that you would not support these projects because they all got funding elsewhere. And I thought Mr. Boltman and my concern was that just because they're funded in one place for one type of project and funding doesn't mean they aren't eligible to seek funding for other components of their program. And so am I fairly representing what we talked about in committee?
Our staff will take a very close look at that. I know there's some language in the rules, in the HUD rules, that might reference that issue. But certainly we'll make sure we follow all the rules and provide the appropriate recommendations moving forward.
And I don't think there's any intent to double fund for the exact same service. The question is, legitimately, though, you might be able to fund one portion of a project or a program or an agency through the budget and fund other portions through CDBG.
Perhaps.
And Madam Chair, if we could just verify, because it's my understanding, and I was the person that wrote the amendment, I believe that the CDBG funding was added in at budget, because that was something that we've done this year that we've never tried before, and there was a lot of debate about it, and we ended up leaving it in.
Is there someone from the administration that can clarify whether there's CDBG funding set aside in the 2012 budget for Hunger Task Force?
Good morning, Ms. Chairman, Horst? Supervisors. My understanding of the budget amendment was that it originally came out having a certain set of guidelines defined. I think it ultimately got passed that it directed parks as well as a variety of other county employees, Corporation Council, audit, and I think someone from DAS to get together with the parks or to get together with the Hunger Task Force and negotiate a package. I strongly disagreed with CDBG money being in the budget, and I think ultimately that was agreed upon as having this process evaluate the full CDBG package. That's my understanding of what passed out of the budget.
Okay, what we'll do is Mr. Boltman will work with the administration to pull all of that information. So. Especially if there's follow-up decisions that were made, what those were or what the recommendations were. Obviously, the administration makes the recommendation, the county board and then the county executives go through the legislative process to determine the final approvals. And obviously, we have some additional funds that we may need to return back to the federal government in 2012 for 2011, but they are not funds from these projects, and they are not funds that we're not going back and asking agencies to return money. The Milwaukee County, because it's a county difference with the federal government, will be taking that out of Milwaukee County funds rather than individual agencies. Okay. All right, let's start with Hunger Task Force. I apologize for starting late, but I think it's important to get all of this clarified, for not only for us, but for you as well.
No problem. Sherry Tussler, Executive Director at Hunger Task Force, and I'm registered as a lobbyist with Milwaukee County. I thought I was coming to say thank you today. After 8 years of working diligently to try to rescue the farm and fish hatchery in Milwaukee County, I believe that we've come to consensus on a future for the farm and fish hatchery. The county executive wanted to close the fish hatchery this last fall, and Hunger Task Force, which had been providing operational support at the fish hatchery, agreed to step up to the plate and not close the facility. It's probably valued at more than $1 million. It supplies more than 40,000 fish four times per year to the Milwaukee County Parks and Lagoons lagoons. Our staff had already been working at the fish hatchery for many years, and so we agreed to bring Dave Miller, the last remaining county employee, over to the Hunger Task Force payroll. And so tomorrow at the parks meeting, I believe we're going to see a lease agreement, not a contract, but a long-term lease, which will address the default situation that we've been living with for about the last 4 years. And I think that we should have this resolved. We should have a public-private partnership. Hunger Task Force is not funded by Milwaukee County. We do receive CDBG dollars. That is the only money we receive. We actually fund our rent payments over at the COGS building, and that is one exchange that we have, but there are no other dollars going to Hunger Task Force. As a result of this, we are agreeing to take on responsibility for all the maintenance of effort out there, all the building repairs, and we've got a plan in place to improve the buildings rather than to allow them to just sit by the wayside. The infrastructure improvements will basically repair the roof on the barn building and the dairy. They'll also help us rebuild one of the ponds, which has fallen in on itself. And the Farm and Fish Hatchery's operational support is literally the farm support. It's seeds and chemicals that are necessary for farming. Last year, we distributed more than 365,000 pounds of produce to low and moderate income families throughout Milwaukee County using our pantry, soup kitchen, and homeless shelter network. 80 charities benefited, and more than 50,000 people on a monthly basis. We were lucky enough to bring stuff out of the field starting in May all the way through November.
Ms. Tesser, you actually kind of started to combine the two together, so you actually have another minute or two if there's anything additional you'd like to say.
Well, I want to say that tomorrow it's going to be 50 degrees. The greenhouse is going to be open. The water's been turned on, and I think that we've got a really great future in front of us. The Farm and Fish Hatchery will continue to grow. With the signing of this lease agreement, I can go to donors and request additional funds. The Harley-Davidson Foundation has requested that we submit for a signature project at the farm itself. We brought on a development director. We're bringing out more and more volunteers. And with the loosening of our ties with Correctional Facility South, we've been able to have more and more people from the general public visit the Farm and Fish Hatchery. We envision 5 years from today a Milwaukee County park that is a destination that shows Wisconsin's rich tradition of agriculture and its heritage. And we're working with Milwaukee County Parks to restore a stand of oak trees near the river so that people can visit that as well.
Could you clarify for the committee, the agreement, and I'm not on parks, so I haven't seen the agreement yet, but of the lease agreement, are either of these two projects built into the lease agreement? Is the operational support for the farm, the $40,000, is that in the lease agreement? Or is that in addition to the financing structure within the lease agreement?
It is not built into the lease agreement. That wouldn't be appropriate.
Okay. So there's no funding in the lease agreement, correct, or is there?
In the past, we have paid to lease the warehouse space at the parks. There's a 17,000 square foot warehouse at the farm. The lease amount goes from $20,000 to $1 annually, and then we agree to take on all of the costs of repairs and improvements.
But if the county board only adopted your lease, the lease agreement, you would not have any CDBG money coming from Milwaukee County, is that correct? Unless we adopted one or both of these proposals.
Unless you adopt one or both of these, there will be no funding guaranteed through that lease agreement.
Okay. All right, thank you so much.
You bet.
Okay, the next is WRTP. And if it's easier, we can combine your minutes together and do all three.
Okay, thank you.
Good morning. Ms. Tesser, did you turn in a card? Don't forget to turn in cards before you leave. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, good morning. My name is Mark Kesnick. I'm the Director of Planning and Development for the WRTP Big Step, and I'm joined this morning by Kyle Ashley, who is the Center of Excellence Youth Program Services Manager. We have three proposals that are before you, each one for $40,000. To do three things that are basically interrelated. For those of you not entirely familiar with WRTP Big Step, we're an industry-driven, sector-based intermediary. We serve the manufacturing sector, the construction sector, as well as some of the other emerging sectors of the economy. in essence, our job is to make sure employers and industry has the workforce it needs to be successful in our regional economy and specifically in Milwaukee County. So this morning we're here to present three different proposals. Those proposals represent aspects of the organization, one being a youth program called the STEP program. The STEP program is really targeted toward young people who are in high school or who may have just recently left high school. The goal of that piece is to, in essence, give young people some exposure to the trades, some idea about how to access employment and manufacturing, and to really dispel some of the myth regarding what these jobs mean and where they're going in the future. It's pretty poignant at this juncture. As manufacturing experiences this revival, we're hearing over and over from business leaders that young people just have no idea about what kind of careers they could make. And so this is one strategy to go about addressing that issue. The second piece of the three proposals is to actually provide some additional support to the employer community to get them to utilize and have access to the Center of Excellence, and that's our center over on 38th in Wisconsin. Some of you all have been there before, and you know that's a hub. It's kind of the point at which employers and individuals in the community are able to connect and to be able to provide some additional support and outreach to employers in our community so they know how to get there, how to use that center. Is of vital interest to us in terms of getting people back to work. The third piece is to address the adult community. Clearly, the employers who we're working with have skills gaps. Some of those gaps are the soft skills or critical skills, as they were. Some of those are really actually skills gaps. So we need to make sure that we have some resources and some strategies to make sure folks have the kind of skills they need in order to access employment. We know there are lots of other barriers to employment, and this is just one piece of a bigger strategy. So the three pieces really do work together and are part of a bigger picture. We don't consider ourselves to be duplicating service. We just consider ourselves to be trying to do more service for all the folks who are unemployed throughout the county. So in our case, we do seek funding for training and for other support through the foundation community, through other public entities, and we try to align those funds so that everyone's clear about what funds are used for what and what we're trying to achieve. Because in the end, as you all know, getting people back to work is the most critical issue that we're facing in this community. And with that, if you have any questions about each of those, any one of those proposals separately or as a whole, or how we might be dealing with some of the other bigger issues, we'd be happy to respond.
Questions or comments by committee members? Supervisor Lipscomb.
Three proposals. Unlikely that three proposals will be funded. Do you have a priority?
Well, clearly, right now, our youth programs are where we're trying to put some energy and put some emphasis. It's an area where it seems the school systems are having a hard time pulling industry expertise. So being able to outreach to especially some of the other municipalities outside of Milwaukee, Oak Creek, Franklin, Northside, Brown Deer, Glendale, some of those communities who have lost some of their trades, education, or who don't even know where to begin, to be able to partner with them to get them on the right track would be probably the number one priority. The other two are it's hard for me to say that they're not as important, but in order, obviously training dollars are valuable. Connecting adults who are out of work with some of those training resources and to be able to leverage some of what we already have.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Other questions? I have a question for you. Do you believe that through either the employment training services, the youth program, or the other ones, that you'll be able to document that not only are the individuals primarily served low income or moderate income to meet the guidelines, but also that they're from the broader Milwaukee County community?
Well, it's easy enough for us to do the documentation. We do a very thorough database called Efforts to Outcomes, which is what we use to track all of our data.
Okay.
It provides all the demographic, geographic, and related skills data that we need. We are looking forward to doing maybe a more aggressive job working in kind of the outer municipalities. We have some relationships with Oak Creek High School right now, which we look forward to building on. We know we have some friends over in South Milwaukee who would like to see us do some additional work. So working outside of MPS is not a problem for us. not that we're going to give up on that commitment. We're going to continue to work with them as well, because we think that's really where there's a great opportunity for us to make an impact. But we look forward to working outside there as well.
Thank you very much. Any other questions or comments? Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
I believe that concludes our meeting. I will just ask one last time whether someone from the Urban League is here. Okay, thank you very much. This public hearing is adjourned. Closed. And the committee is adjourned until 1 p.m.